Welcome to the Voice of Grace broadcast, sponsored by the Grace Baptist Church in Hazelhurst. This is Brother Ronnie Wilcox, the pastor, and we're glad to have you along with us on this Sunday afternoon. Hope you've had a good day at church if you're able to go. And we just want to wish all the dads a happy Father's Day today. And thank God for our good, godly fathers. And we wish you a happy Father's Day. And today I'm going to air a message that I preached a couple of years ago. The message is entitled, Instructions for a Father.
Every husband, every daddy should encourage his son to read the book of Proverbs. Amen. You'll learn a lot. You'll learn a lot more in the book of Proverbs than you will a video game or a computer or a cell phone. So much junk I wish we'd throw out. Amen. I mean, I like it. I like using it, and it's handy. But, dear Lord, it's about took over our lives, ain't it? It's consumed us. I was going down the road the other day, saw a guy on the interstate, driving on the interstate doing like this. Man, you're just begging to get killed. Amen. But a lot of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. I didn't mean to start out on a sour note, but I'll preach it if you can take it. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, read a few verses of Scripture. I appreciate our fathers, and I said earlier I appreciate my dad. Now, I'm going to say a few things about my dad this morning. I don't mean to put my daddy over your daddy. I don't mean it like that. But Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. A good daddy will tell you straight and tell you how to grow up, how to live a normal life. And I know we got some perverts in the world that's fathered children, that don't make you a father. Just because you got somebody pregnant don't mean you're a daddy. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching right there. And just because you're shacking up with somebody and they got kids, that don't mean you're a father. Well, we had a fellow right here in our church back in Jubilee, a little boy walked up to my wife and said, Miss Debbie, today's the first time my daddy ever told me he loved me. You know what I thought? First thing I thought was how pitiful. And the second thing I thought was, all us men ought to take him outside and give him a dose of something. Amen. Any man that raise a kid and never tell him he loves him or give him instruction I'm reading about ain't much of a man. Amen. I'd say it, I don't care who you are. Amen? Some things might scare me, but telling the truth don't bother me a bit. Amen? And the Bible said here he's talking about his son, and he said he's talking about wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not. And she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. He's talking about wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I want to preach on this a few minutes this morning, instructions for a father. Instructions for a father. Any man that wants to know how to be a good dad, the instruction book's laying in your lap. If you don't have one, I'll give you a brand new one here in just about 20 minutes. I'll give you one as you go out the door. If you want to learn how to be a good dad, just take that old Bible and start reading it. Matter of fact, you can just read the book of Proverbs, and it'll tell you how to be a good daddy. And you boys, it'll tell you how to be good sons, and you daughters how to be good. Matter of fact, they'll tell some of you women how to be good wives if you read it and obey it. Amen? And brother, listen, there is instructions in this book for a man how to be a father. Proverbs 1:8 said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 17:6 said, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Amen? Listen, the older you get, the more you'll love your daddy. I guarantee it. If you got a good daddy, I promise you, when you're young, first of all, I don't know how, I can't really explain all that, but I guess it's maybe that you're getting along in life to that point that you know what's really valuable in life. And you realize those things you really treasure, and you realize what your mom and daddy really went through for you and how much they really cared and how much of a dear friend they really were and still are to you. I'll say this, men are just happier people, it seems like. Men and women are different. I love them. I'm not knocking women. I'm not one of them faggots. I don't like boys. Women are just wired different. Men are just bottom line. Give me the bottom line. A man can have a car breakdown, and a woman can have a car breakdown. It's two different explanations. You can ask a woman, well, what happened? You know, her car blows over and it overheats. She says, well, this morning I got up and I got in my car. When I cranked it, it sounded normal. I got up the road a little ways, it made this knocking noise, and then when I got to the stoplight, it sort of cleared up, so I thought everything's going to be okay. Well, when I stopped and got gas, there was a guy there, and he put a little bit of gas in, a little water in the radiator. If he put gas, it wouldn't be a mess. He put a little bit of water in the radiator, everything seemed fine. Well, I got to work, and I noticed that it wasn't just running just like it normally does. Well, when I went to lunch, are y'all getting this now? When I went to lunch, it ran fine. I got back in the car to come home, got halfway home, it bowled over. I don't know what it is. You can ask a man. You can say, what happened? Water pump. That's it. And the other guy say, cool. That's it. That's a conversation. That's what we did up there this weekend. We sit there and grunted and talked. I mean, it's about bottom line stuff. What's the matter? Don't know. Cool. Amen? I mean, if somebody gets a divorce, your wife said, what happened to them? You said, I don't know. They quit living together. He didn't like her. She didn't like him. Well, didn't you ask him? No, I didn't. Why? I don't know. I don't care. But women and men are different. And men are just seem to be happier because I guess men grow up, they're just dumb little boys, I reckon. Men are just still boys. They're just growing up bigger and higher and smell more and make a bigger mess. Listen to this. Why are men happier people? Well, one thing, your last name stays the same. I don't have to worry about that. The garage is all yours. Nobody messes with that. Wedding plans take care of themselves. Chocolate is just another snack. It ain't just another snack to a woman, brother. That's heaven on earth. You go to my wife's nightstand, open that door, man, there's all kind of chocolate. And nobody touches that either, bless God. You don't go near that. She got a loaded gun and Hershey bars. Don't mess with either one. Listen, another thing, and the reason men are happier, you can't never be pregnant. Praise God for that. You can wear a white T-shirt to a water park. Hey, you don't even have to wear a shirt to a water park if you're a man. Amen? Car mechanics always tell you the truth. They never tell a woman the truth, do they? Women leave her scratching their head, the mechanic does too. But a man, they'll just tell them, drive shaft's bad, cool, fix it. And that's it. The world is your urinal. Hallelujah. I don't know what. That's something about a man. I know I'm off track a little bit here this morning. It's going to be a different message. We ain't coming back tonight. I'm going to tell you some stuff about men. Men just like to use a bathroom outside. I don't know what it is. We just go back to our caveman roots or something. I mean, that's one thing. I had trouble moving here to town. I looked around the yard like, where's the bathroom? People don't see me driving by here. I ain't going to be comfortable living here. Y'all know what I mean? You know how it is? Women hate that. You may on a trip, men's got to go to the bathroom. Well, he can pull him out in the woods 5 minutes. He's done. A woman's got to find a bathroom. It's got to be a clean bathroom. It's got to smell good and look good, and it takes her a while. Not only is she using the bathroom, she's checking her makeup. And we appreciate that, ladies. We really do. I'm not being ugly. I've never fussed at my wife or wanting to go to the bathroom on a trip. I'll find her a place. If I have to break into it, pick the lock, I'll find her a nice bathroom. Take your time, darling. Check your makeup while you're in there. Amen. Preach it, brother. You never have to drive to another gas station because this restroom's icky. You just use it. Amen. You don't have to stop and think of which way to turn a nut on a bolt. Every man is righty, tighty, lefty, loosey. Every man knows that. If the nut's upside down, you just reverse the process. Women don't know how to work a wrench, do they? It's getting quiet on us here. By the same token, women, we don't know how to cook either or do none of that stuff. Amen. Same work, more pay. Praise God. Wrinkles had character. Wedding dress, $5,000. Tux rental, $100. You don't even keep it. Wedding dress, you keep it forever. Pay $5,000 and keep it till you die of old age and give it to your grandkids. Man wears a tux and it ain't his. Get this sucker off me. Let's put some shorts and flip-flops on and a muddy shirt and a child backer. We'll be happy. Amen, brother. Men are different. People never stare at your chest when you're talking to them. I know women get aggravated. That's the way men are. They're perverts. That's right. The occasional well-rendered belch is practically expected from a man. New shoes don't cut, blister, or mangle your feet. One mood every day. Men are the same all the time. Amen? That's why I don't want a woman president. It ain't that I'm against women. I don't want a woman up there. Why, she gonna wake up and have a bad day and kill all of us. Wake up PMS and push the button, nuke Iran, then they're going to kill all of us. Why'd you do that? I just didn't feel well. I had a headache, my back was hurting, and I bloated. I'm having hot flashes, and them people over in Japan didn't have no right to be here. Phone conversations are over in 30 seconds flat. I call Brother Heath, me and him talk all the time. It lasts about a minute. That's why I like texting. Where are you at? Down here, cool, be careful. That's it. Hey, brother, are you coming this way? Yeah, I didn't borrow your trailer. If somebody stole it, that's cool. It's over here, chalk. Come pick it up. That's it. We don't get us, hey, how are you feeling today? Man, my back's bothering me, and those heels just kill my feet. Well, I know a place where you can get you a new pair. Let's go together. Now, that's something else about women. They go to the bathroom together. Isn't that weird? I ain't never seen a bunch of men say, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Y'all need, y'all, we're good. Take your time, son. We'll be here when you get back. I know I'm meddling, but this is fun. Amen. But men and women are different. Listen, and men are happy about that stuff. We like it. One mood every day. One of the phone conversations over in 30 seconds. You know about tanks and stuff like that. 5-day vacation requires one suitcase. All of us men went on that trip and all of us just had one bag. Some of them just had grocery store bags. T-shirts, shorts, flip-flops, no deodorant. No. We all used the same toothbrush and everything. We didn't waste no money.
Amen.
Amen. We really didn't use the same toothbrush. You can open all jars by yourself. You get extra credit for the slightest act of thoughtfulness. If someone forgets to invite you, well, they're still your friend. You don't care. A woman, you forget to invite her to something, enemies for life. Your underwear is $8.95 for a 3-pack. You women can't get that. Amen. I mean, I never go buy women's underwear, but I know you don't get 3 in a pack for $8.95. Amen. 3 pair of shoes are more than enough. Listen, brother, have you men noticed your wife's got quite a few pair of shoes? Candace, when she was 3 years old, she had like 50 pair. She was a tomboy, but bless God, she was all girl. She had like 50 pairs of shoes. I'm like, Debbie, where's this come from? And she'll have on a new pair and go into the Kmart or Walmart, can't even talk, and start pointing his shoes. A baby, little girl. Boys, they like that. I got this pair of boots, another pair of boots, work boots. I think that's it. Preacher, what do you use when you go on the walk track? Work boots or cowboy boots or barefoot, I don't care. We're just different. What are you preaching on, preacher? I don't know. You almost never have strap problems in public. You're unable to see wrinkles in your clothes. You ever notice a man put on a wrinkle shirt and don't care? What? I don't know how I dressed before I got married. Oh, I'm to God. I used to think I was cool and go down to the disco and all that stuff, you know, and just knew how to dress. I can't even match a black and white outfit now. I asked Debbie, is this a match? Is this a black shirt match your gray pants? Yeah, there's you. What time am I wearing? The gray one. No, not that one. Take that off. Put the other one on. Does your wife do that? She has to, because we're just dumb. Men can't match nothing. Now, we can match colors of cars. Amen? Red car and a white interior and all that stuff, that's different. Putting clothes on. That's it. And we can put something on that's got a burn part of an iron, shape of iron on her back. What are you talking about? It looks fine. That's right. I like wearing wrinkled clothes. People leave you alone, look at you funny. Everything on your face stays its original color. The same hairstyle lasts for years, maybe decades. I've had this same hairstyle for 20 years. I have. Some of you women, I don't even know who you are when you come to church. I'm like, who is that? And I'm talking about my wife, too. She came in out this morning with a towel on her head and said, which way do you like my hair best? I said, I got to get to the church. It scared me, Brother Sam. That scared me. That's a loaded question. I said, darling, as long as you take that towel off, I like it anyway. I've been married long enough to be smart. I ain't stupid. I love it. I love your hair. I like it curly. I like it straight. I like it when it's up on a bun. I like it in the back of your hair like a Church of God woman. I like all that stuff, sweetie pie. And then a little part of me is going, is that right? Is that right? Is that right? And she just smiled and turned around and walked around with a towel on her head. I said, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Don't you, Brother William? You learn how to live. And she has a blue shoe and a brown shoe. She says, which one looks best? Wow, they both look beautiful. Wear them like that, sweetheart. I mean, Ronnie, you need to get this stuff when y'all get married. I like blue and brown. That is the most unique style. I'd wear them both because that matches that beautiful foot and that and other. And don't ever answer this question. This doesn't make me look fat. Just shut up and plead the fifth. Hang on, I'm getting a beep. Lie if you have to. Somebody's buzzing me, honey. This might work. I'll get back to you. Don't ever answer that question. Praise God. I ain't even started my message yet, but it'll be short. You only have to shave your face and your neck if you're a man. You don't shave all that other stuff. You can play with toys all your life. Your belly usually hides your big hips. Men have big hips too, but we just got a big old belly that hides it. Women worry about that. They get them big hips and they worry, but they don't have that big old beer gut like us men do. I mean, even if you're saved and don't drink beer, you still got a beer gut. I don't know what that is. One man told me, he said, I ain't seen you in years, preacher. He said, he didn't know I was a preacher. He said, hey, man, what's going on? Beer gut. And I said, no, I got saved. I'm preaching. And he said, chicken coop. Looks the same. Amen. One wallet, one pair of shoes, and one color for all seasons. You can wear shorts no matter how your legs look. Somebody had on shorts up there at the lake. I ain't going to say who, but I thought they was riding the ostrich when they come in. Oh, dear God, where'd you find that at? And then it hit me. I realized who it was, and he was just walking. I ain't going to say who it is. Don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Woo! Hey, man, you can do your nails with a pocket knife. How many of you men ever clipped your nails with a pocket knife? I do that all the time. Oh, I need a fingernail file. I pull my butt knife out and start doing like here, talking to somebody. And then get through that and pick your teeth and peel an apple. Glory to God. Amen, brother. You have the freedom of choice concerning growing a mustache or not. See, women don't have that choice. If it grows, you just got it. Y'all didn't even get that one. You can do Christmas shopping for 25 people on December 24th at 6:00 in the evening and do it for $50. Women can't do that. That's why men are happier. Here's what I'm going to tell you just for a few minutes. That was my introduction. Lasted 20 minutes. The message lasts 5. Amen. I want to say instructions for a father. Men, I'm not preaching about the fathers today. I'm preaching to the fathers. I said all that about men and women, and some of you women might have took offense to what I said, but I'm going to preach to the men and to your husbands and to you kids' daddies, and if I say something right, you say amen, or at least nod your head. Number one, I want to say instructions. This is a practical message today. This is not one of those real deep theological, I mean, it's just practical advice for a man that wants to be a good Christian dad and wants to raise his family. Listen, when you get to the end of your life, it ain't gonna matter how much money you made. I guarantee you that. Listen, nothing wrong with making money. I ain't knocking that. If somebody make a pile of money, help yourself. I'm not saying that's a sin. But if that's all you live for, someday you're gonna look at your kids on your deathbed and your wife, and you'll say, my God, I missed it. I completely missed it. Brother, listen, the greatest asset you own, especially if your kids are in church, these kids up here singing a while ago, I was sitting there thinking, some of the men in this church, I don't know if you even realize how wealthy you are to see your wife and kids up here singing and with their hands up praising God. That's the most valuable thing. How many men would give everything they got to have what you and I had this morning? We got a lot, people. Instructions for a father. Number one, fix what you can. Fix what you can. You know what he's saying, preacher? Build a realistic relationship with your kids. You can fix some things with your character, your consistency, your commitments, your convictions. The Bible said, my son, if thou will receive my words, hide my commandments with thee. He said, Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Listen, a long time ago, I decided I was going to invest in my kids. I thought, if I can't do much in life and accomplish anything, or if I don't amount to anything, and if I ain't a great preacher or a great man, or if I'm never famous, which I ain't never cared about that, I decided when my kids were babies, Brother Jeff, I thought if I could help them somehow, if I could invest in them, and then someday they can go out and become productive people and love God and love each other and love their wives, love their husband, love their kids, I feel like I at least got something right. Amen. I mean, sometimes I feel like, and you probably do too, how many men here this morning have ever felt like it seemed like everything I do, I just flop everything? I mean, at some point in time in your life you felt that, ain't you? I mean, you felt like, dear God, every time I turn around, I fail at this, I fail at this. But listen, brethren, if we could at least look at our kids and say, that's one thing I know I tried to get right, brother, you have accomplished something that many men in this world never get. I want to say thank God, brother. I'm proud this morning. Listen, I like it when people call me preacher. That's an honor to be called a preacher. I like it when she calls me sweetie pie and honey and all them sweet names. But boy, Brother Sam, I like that name daddy, don't you? I like it when my kids holler my name out. Travis hollering for me and said, hey dad, can you hand me a screwdriver? Just hearing that word, I love it, brother. I like being a daddy. I'm proud to tell you, it's an honor and a privilege. And as the Bible said, the children are heritage of the Lord. And brother, it is a blessing. Thank God, it's an honor and a privilege to have children and to have good kids. Brother, it is a blessing that you just can't explain how good it is. I remember everybody's daddy does this. Well, I'll tell you about my daddy. I do it. My kids, sometimes I say, Dad, tell that story. And I would just sit around and talk. I wish my daddy's dead and gone, but I wish I'd have put a video camera up, Brother Sam, and just sat and talked to him for about 5 hours and got some of them old stories on camera and just talked to him. My daddy preached back in an era where they didn't record church service, and I've only got about 2 recorded messages of my daddy preaching. I'll tell you what, he could preach the paint off the wall, son. I mean, he could preach the carpet up off the floor, had the touch of God all over him. But most of all, he was my daddy. Besides being a preacher, he's my dad. Oh, brother, I'll tell you, I loved him. I still love him. And, brother, I wish I could see him and talk to him. You kids here this morning's got one of those dads like I had, his strength and hard head and hard nose and old fashioned. You ought to run to him during the altar call and lock your arms around him and give him as many kisses as you can, because someday you'll outlive him and he'll be gone. Amen. Daddy used to talk about moon pies. Daddy was funny. Daddy, I was telling the men the other day, we was talking about a dad. I said, my daddy was funny without trying to be funny. He just the craziest things come out of his mouth. He'd say, man, I remember when moon pies as big as a wagon wheel, and they wasn't but a nickel. Remember them? Daddy used to talk about carrying water from the spring. People say, preacher, do y'all have running water? He said, yeah, it's running, but it's about a quarter mile down through the woods. It's a creek, amen. Daddy used to talk about getting the orange for Christmas. That's what they got for Christmas. Listen, we don't know what poor is, but there's poor up in the mountains. He had a big family, a bunch of boys and girls and grandpa. They farmed and worked that land, and it was kind of like them old movies you see, and just old rocky mountaintop and old skinny mule, and they couldn't crop much, barely stayed afloat, and they were so poor at Christmas time, that's all they'd get, just be an orange and 2 pieces of rock candy. And boy, they thought they was in heaven. But brother, I want to tell you what, them was the good days for them kids. Daddy, listen, Daddy tell them stories about when he was a kid. Daddy worked 26 hours a day plowing a mule till the mule fell down dead. Did y'all get that, 26 hours a day? Then he made 50 cents a month and had to eat water, gravy, and fried rabbit tracks and was glad to get it. That's the part me and my brother never understand. Why was you glad to get it? Why was you glad when they just give you briars and saw briars to eat? Why was you happy about that? Man, I had to wrap barbed wire around your feet for shoes. The best thing about the relationship with my dad is still going on today. Amen. I thank God for that. Daddy used to talk about that stuff. He used to walk to school 10 miles in snow 5 feet deep without shoes on, and it's uphill both ways. Man, that was a good old day. I remember he used to talk about that job, Brother Heath. I'm like, how in the world is that the good old days? Yeah, no shoes on. Snow 5 feet, it's uphill both directions. And you're thinking, it can't be uphill both ways. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was so bad. I mean, brother, they'd talk about all that stuff. They'd have a flat on the side of the road, and they'd get out and pump it up the bicycle and take some of that patch and patch the tire and take off down the road. Daddy said you could keep any car running if you had baling twine and a coat hanger. He said, there wasn't nothing you couldn't fix about A models. Just about anything. If it broke down, you could pull over and fix it. He said, he's riding through the mountains one night, him and his buddy. And his buddy couldn't talk good. He had a speech impediment. And the wheel ran off the car, and Daddy knew the wheel came off as soon as it came off. And said, his cousin said, y'all got a wheel, y'all. Daddy's trying to keep it running. I know it's a wheel, shut up. They said that car they had was so weak, Brother Jeff, that they couldn't get it pulled across the mountains. They'd turn around and back it across the mountain because the reverse was geared lower, you know. And they'd get out and push it, and they'd reverse it across the top of the mountain. And then they'd turn it around and take off back down the other side. That's true stuff, brother. Amen. Well, thank God you can fix something. Daddy, you can fix something by building a relationship with your kids and build a relationship with your wife and build a relationship in your community where your kids, when they see you out somewhere, they'll be proud to say, that's my dad. Amen. Don't you like it when your kids introduce you to a friend or somebody? This is my dad. Something about that. I just like it, don't you? I don't know what I'd do if my kids were ashamed of me if they ran from me, didn't want to introduce their friends to me. First of all, I wouldn't let my kids run around them kids. You say, preacher, you're a dictator. You got that right. Them's my kids. I'll raise them the way I want to. They ain't going to pal around with this low life, these kids that won't work and want to party all the time and sass to lay in bed all day, eat cheesy pussy, drink Kool-Aid, not go to school, not work, do nothing like that. My kids ain't going to fellowship with them kind of kids. Well, they're our friends. No, they ain't. They ain't your friend. I said they wasn't. Well, we made Travis break up with a girl not too awful long ago. Told Davis, I'm glad we broke up with her. Whew, praise God. That's right. Preacher, you're awful. Well, My house ain't in chaos, thank God. Fix what you can. Number two, find the good. Ephesians 6:4 said, and fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Listen, fathers, daddies, recognize the strengths in your children and don't punish them for their weaknesses. Some daddies, all they do is browbeat their kids and fuss at them. Why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be like your sister? Don't do that to them. Leave them alone. Let them be who they are and accentuate the parts that they are strong on. Every kid's different. They're all different. I never did it to my kids. Why can't you be like your brother? You're just ruining that child. You're killing him. I mean, you're killing him emotionally and mentally, and he's going to grow up with a complex thinking he's no good. Brother, you find the things that he is good at. Amen. Amen. Recognize their strengths. Don't expect unrealistic things from your kids. Don't expect your kids to be something that they're not going to be, and push them and shove them and push them to get them to be something that they're never going to be. Be realistic. Amen. Not only that, but in finding the good, don't try to live out your fantasy through your kids. You ever see that show where these little girls are about four years old and they're in a beauty pageant? And them kids look weird. They don't look, they're scary. That scares me. I'd have nightmares. I mean, they look like little girls. They're pretty, but they're so dolled up like a saloon girl. They don't look normal. I mean, it looks like a grown woman in a little tiny child's body. You know who that is? That little girl in the sandbox didn't say, I want to be in a beauty pageant and stroll across there. And you look at their mom and their big old fat ugly woman over there. Always. What she's doing? I wanted to be a beauty queen. I'm going to make her do it since I couldn't. Since I was ugly and snaggletooth and cross-eyed and humpback and pigeon-toed and knock-kneed, I'm going to make my daughter do it. Yeah. Hey, man, I said like some of the girls I used to date. Praise God. So humpback when they start in the house and run up on the porch. That's right, brother. Amen. I'm trying to tell you something this morning. Don't try to live out of fantasy through your kids. Don't make your kids play ball because you wanted to play ball and you couldn't do it. Don't make your little girl be a ballerina just because you wanted to be one. If she wants to be one, fine. But don't make her do it so you can live out your life through her. That's terrible. Don't make your kid be a musician or try to make him a rock star because that was your dream. Don't try to make them something they're not. Find the good in your children. Number three, fight for what's right. Paul said, I fought a good fight. He said, I fought a good fight. He didn't say, I've been in a good fight. He said, I fought a good fight. Fight for your children's friends and for their fellowship. That's right. Fight for them. Fight for those things. I said that a few minutes ago. My daddy was the same way when I was a kid. He wouldn't let us run around just anybody. Who is that boy? What's his name? Who's his mom and daddy? I don't think you need to be talking to him. Well, daddy, we're friends. You ain't no more. You're not friends anymore. Amen. Fight for your children's friends. Fight for their fellowship. Listen, I always thought my daddy was unreasonable. He wouldn't buy me a car. The first car of all, I had to work in a fish camp washing dishes when I was still in school on weekends so I could pay for it. It's a Falcon. Pretty nice car, but I totaled it before I got my license. That's the truth. Crazy. Teenagers ain't got no sense. Amen. Daddy wouldn't buy me a car. He made me work for what I did get. What? Hey. Even if my daddy had a car, he wouldn't give it to me. Made me pay him for it. That's the way my daddy was, son. He didn't give you nothing. Amen. Mama kissed him. He wrote her, I owe you. He'd charge her for it. All right, Mom, that's two kisses today. I ain't kidding you. He wouldn't let my sister's car date. Never would. The boy could come to the house and visit her in court and sit around the family and play checkers and watch TV, something like that. He didn't let nobody pulled up in the front of the house and toot the horn. My sister went running out. My daddy would have been out there and had to talk with him. Who are you? What are you doing out here blowing horn? What's your problem?
Well, that's all we have time for today. Friends, I appreciate you tuning us in. And again, we want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads. We appreciate all the good fathers out there. And it takes more than having a child to be a good father. And I thank God that I had a great dad. We have so many great fathers in our church. Thank God for all them. I know so many good fathers out there, and so many good friends of mine are good dads, and I appreciate them so much. Raising your families right, and it's a great blessing. There's so many men today that brings children into the world and won't take care of their kids, and they abandon them. So thank God for good, godly, Christian men that raise their families right. So I want to wish you a happy Father's Day, and we honor you. And thank God for you, and we pray for you. And I want to wish you a happy Father's Day. From Grace Baptist Church, this is Brother Ronnie Wilcox. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is our prayer.